Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning for the love of God that has manifested itself to us. What manner of love you've bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that you've called us friends. We thank you for your mercy and your love, your compassion toward us. These great mercies that are new every morning. Hallelujah. Oh, great is your faithfulness, Lord. And so we come just to boast in you this morning. We come to lift your name on high and to declare your majesty. Lord, you said if you'd be lifted up, you'd draw all men to yourself. And we come to lift you up. As you were lifted up, we now recognize and lift you up in praise and declare the victory won, Lord, in that death, that burial, that resurrection. Your word declares that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so we come to praise you this morning. We come to lift you up this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Put it in our hearts. Oh, Lord, put it upon our lips this morning that we would praise you and declare your greatness and your majesty. We acknowledge your greatness. As it is written, power belongeth unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we declare it and boast in your goodness and boast in your promises. And now you've said where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst of them. And so we ask that you would just rise up in our midst this morning and show yourself mighty. And we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to John's Gospel this morning. And we're going to deviate a little bit from the study that we've been in and address some of the current circumstances that are upon us. You know, we've talked about some of the needs of great magnitude on Wednesday night, and we're going to speak towards some of that again. But even just here among us right now, we have some of the symptoms of that flu that's going around. I know you have heard out west that a number of children, older people are dying of this, and I've had a couple of cases here already starting to manifest. We got some of that hoof and mouth disease going around, and some of the children, what's it called? That's the cows, right? Hoof and mouth disease, but it's the same thing, you know, it's pretty much the same. So we're just going to believe the Lord that that'll be stopped. Amen. We know it's highly contagious, but has no right to manifest itself here. And that's part of what we're going to be addressing this morning, what our rights are as the church, as the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. In that redemption, we know from Isaiah 53 that in that great redemption, as it pleased Father to bruise Jesus on our behalf, the word declares that on that day as he hung on that cross, that he was made sin with our sin, and we were able then to be made righteous with his righteousness. Part of what took place on that day, the scripture tells us there in Isaiah 53 that he took on himself our sicknesses and our diseases, our pain. Amen. He was esteemed stricken and smitten of God, but that was from the ignorant observer. But to those of us that have come to know the love of Father, He voluntarily went to that cross on our behalf. And Father delighted in judicially putting the judgment and punishment upon Him that we could be pronounced innocent and free. And by His stripes, we are healed. Amen? And so it's a fact. It's part of the covenant of God. It's our rights, and as we shared in the past, and we made statement Wednesday night, to see the visitation of God among us, to see signs and wonders, miracles in our midst, should be nothing exceptional or spectacular. It should be normative Christianity. It's what belongs to the church, praise God. And yet it's so obscure today. Not only are so many of the church not experiencing the benefits of it, but tragically, because of the fact that their faith has lacked and because of traditions, it's not only not being participated in, but in fact it's being denied, taught against. And we want to come back and see that it's something that should be, as we as believers, expecting on a daily basis. And so in John chapter 9, a very interesting incident here, as the apostles were walking through the city, and it says in chapter 9, verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, you know, we've talked about in the past the pagan mentality. In fact, many, many people in the church believe that. And in fact, many of us are tempted to believe it at times. And the thought was that if someone's experiencing gain and abundance and they're healthy and prosperous, that somehow God is pleased with them, and that's the reason that they're experiencing these things. And when things begin to be adverse and there's trials and tribulations, sickness, we may experience lack in our lives, then God is displeased with us and we're somehow being judged, punished of God. And that's the thinking of man, and it always has been, and tragically is still today and in the church. And many of you have battled with that. We know from Job, however, and we see then that in the life of Job, here was a man whose comforters began to be accusers. And they said, surely there's sin in your life. You couldn't be living this abundant life, all this prosperity you had, and then all of a sudden this thing change and you lose your family, you lose your position in society, you lose your health. Surely God's trying to tell you something. Well, we find out as the story goes on, and I don't want to bog down here, that God was trying to tell him something. God was trying to tell him that he was righteous and that bad things can happen to righteous people. And God was trying to tell him that there is not fate that we're subject to in the world, but in fact, not fate, he was under personal attack of Satan because of what was taking place in the eternal realm in the warfare of the kingdom of light and darkness. What do you think about my servant Job? Well, I'll tell you what I think. If you didn't bless him and you didn't have this hedge around him, he wouldn't serve you. And God basically said, you and all of your children judge out of your own hearts. Because you were unfaithful, Satan, and were cast down, doesn't mean everybody is. And we know the consequences there and the warfare that took place. And in the latter time, Job was restored. Amen. The whole warfare that was taking place and the one area in the midst of this, and God will always take adverse circumstances. God will take adverse circumstances and always purify us in the midst of it. Amen? It may not eternally, or I should say it this way, it was not necessarily eternally ordained, but God in His foreknowledge knew, and in foreknowledge works these things after His own counsel and for His own purposes, that ultimately He would be glorified and we would be edified. These things are all worked together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen? And so we face adverse circumstances. We shouldn't count it as strange. It happens to everybody, even the redeemed. There doesn't have to be sin in your life. There doesn't have to be a weak point in your life for you to be involved all of a sudden in adverse circumstances. The good thing is to know what God's plan is for you in the midst of these circumstances. And it's to work it for good. Amen? And so we find right here that they had asked that question, and Jesus' response to them, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither. Neither. This is not a personal sin, offense committed by either party. It's the consequence of the fall and the power of sin that is prominent and dominant in the church, I mean in the world today. Sin and sickness thriving in the world system. But let me remind you, not in the kingdom of God. Amen? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so we see this conflict. And so basically, and I'll put it in the vernacular of today, basically Jesus is saying this. Neither one of them sinned personally. But sin is present, and sin is the cause of this. And since they find themselves victims of universal sin, I'll take this circumstance and turn it for the glory of God. Amen? And that's what he's saying right here. And this morning, he's going to take your circumstance and turn it for the glory of God. Whatever it might be. And we need to see that this is the heart of God and the purpose of God. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. But since we find ourselves here and involved in this because of universal sin, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had spoken these things, he spat upon the ground, made clay, put it upon the man's eyes, anointed his eyes, and sent him and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, washed, and came seeing, praise God. And so we see the light of the world. Father wants to take all of our adverse circumstances, bring deliverance and victory to us, that they would see who he is, praise God. In the midst of this kingdom of darkness, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If I would be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. God wants to work miracles, bring wholeness into our lives for him to be lifted up in the eyes of the world, praise God. And if somehow we can begin to grab a hold of this, Listen to what I'm sharing this morning. Those of you that are at first are facing, the adverse circumstances. We talked about many of the needs that are here in our midst on Wednesday night. And you know, we sometimes get weary in our warfare and our well-doing, but we can't get weary. He that endures till the end shall be saved, praise God. Be not weary in our well-doing. Don't faint. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, He will lift us up, praise God. Submit to where He has you at this time. Make Him big in the midst of it. Don't question His love. Declare His greatness. Expect Him to work it for His own glory and your good, praise God. And I know how hard this is when you're in the midst of it, but I have to just tell you the truth anyway. Don't make it about your healing. Make it about God's glory. Amen. I know you want to be free from the pain. I know that we don't want our loved ones to die. I know that we don't want to see the suffering and all that comes along with sin's power in the world today. But if we can get our eyes off of ourselves and begin to get them on the Lord and say, Lord, that You would be glorified. Lord, that mouths would be shut, that men would not be able to deny that a notable miracle's been done here, praise God. Amen? It's the glory of God. Let's look back at Acts for just a second and that passage that we're all familiar with, but I just love what's taken place here in the book of Acts and these great manifestations of the power of God and that healing that took place. Look at Acts chapter 3 for just a moment and verses 10 and 11. It says, after he had been healed, look on us and in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Verse 7, immediately his feet received strength and he leapt up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Let me tell you something. When it manifests, don't sit on it. Amen? Shout it from the housetops, praise God. Find everybody you can find and stop them and say, let me tell you what good things God's done for me. And they'll want to argue different things and say, hey, let me tell you something. All I know is once I was blind and now I see, praise God. The scripture goes on and says that as he went into the temple and praising God with all of his heart and all of his might, and it said, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate. Look, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Hallelujah. God wants to show up in our midst and cause us to wonder and be amazed at His majesty and His glory. And He wants it to go throughout this community. And the testimonies that God is alive and that He's here in our midst. Begin to move hearts. Wouldn't surprise me if that's what Father's doing here. We've tasted a few good things. We've seen the hand of God here in recent months. We've talked about some of those testimonies, Jerry's eye that was healed and sealing up of all of that damage that was there. The great miracle that was worked in Sarah's body and how God preserved her life and purified that liver. God's doing great things. We could go on and name other things that Father's done here. We've had some of the testimonies with the twins and some of these other visitations. But I think we need to become very clear in this one aspect. God is wanting to work in our midst as a great testimony to His presence here. I don't mean Calvary Temple, I mean here. And Calvary Temple. A place. I'll tell you, when God starts moving, people are going to start showing up. Not all with the right motives. But they'll clamor to Jesus to get their bodies healed. To get their loved ones free from demonic powers. Insanity. So much today in our society of people being bound and bound by drugs. The different addictions that are taking over men today that are giving access to demonic powers. Heroin use just through the ceiling right now in the suburbs, in the wealthiest suburbs. Almost beyond the ability to record the sexual addiction of men on the internet and the pornography. These people need free. They need to know the presence of God. They've gotten themselves into a place where not only are they physically addicted, they've opened themselves up to demonic possession and oppression. And beloved, Jesus spoke of His ministry, but let me remind you what He transferred to us. We are the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth, praise God. Amen? Come, Lord, and work in our midst and show Yourself mighty. You want to get healed? Let me tell you, go on. There's a place to go. That used to be our reputation. Oh, we're a better people now than we were then. We're a little more mature. We might even be mature enough. Probably not. But to be able to handle a visitation of God. And let God get all the glory and not try to take some of it to ourselves. Talking about me first. But being able to see what God wants to do. That's how Ron got here years ago. Up at Alpine Church, Dick Klein's church, one of the intercessors, a woman that was known as one of the pillars of faith and intercessors up there. And she had never been here, but had been familiar with and touched people who had. And basically she just told Ron one day, she said, if you really want to know where the Spirit of God is, you need to go to Sterling, Virginia. So he did, and he's been here ever since, praise God. And many of you came the same way. And many of you heard of God's presence here on the radio broadcast and on the television ministry. And the reputation, the testimony went out about how God was causing lame people to walk and deaf people to hear, and people were being set free, praise God. That's what we want for God to be glorified, amen? And so he goes on and it says that they marveled at this. They marveled at the great thing that God was doing. They were filled with wonder and amazement. I like that phrasing. They were filled with wonder. Signs and wonders. You know, it's interesting, those words alone, you know, it's a very interesting thing. As we look at these wonders that God wants to do, and the signs, the word signs is a very interesting word. It really implies God revealing or expressing His sovereignty or His authority. It comes from the same word that you would use for a signet ring. It's God putting His seal on His presence there. When He does signs and wonders, He puts His signet ring down there and says, "This is my hand, this is my work, this is for my glory, praise God. Now stand in awe." Wonders, amazements. Wonders just means miracles. To be amazed and go, "This is beyond man. We have no explanation for this." Or as those that were examining the apostles, they said, you know, what are we going to do? It cannot be denied that a notable miracle has been done. Undeniable. That's why we want records like different things you have. Forensic evidence that says, this is not psychosomatic. Here's the reports. Here's what all of the x-rays and the MIRs and all of those things. MRIs, I keep getting that back. MIR is American International Raceway. And it's in Bud's Creek, but I keep getting those. But anyway, it's a thing that we see, and here's the evidence. Here's before. Here's after. And it's not one of those before and afters where the guy's got his stomach, you know, pushed out one time, and the next time it's the same guy and he's just got his stomach sucked in. They say, "Look what happened, the great results of how much weight he lost." And they shadowed the picture a little bit. I mean, undeniable. And so we see then that this is God's will. Let me go through some scriptures here, and I'm going to have to try to move along a little bit, because the scripture's loaded with it, actually. That this is what God is wanting to do. You know, it's chapter 2 of Acts. Look back over there for just a second. And following the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of God, the great sermon that is being preached, this is that, verse 16 says. This is that the prophet Joel spoke of. Your children are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Old men are napping. Dreaming dreams. And then he says, and it'll come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And he speaks these words, "You men of Israel, listen to me. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. Approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him." He said it was done openly, it was done in your midst, and you all know it. "But you delivered him to be slain, but God raised him up," praise God, "and having loosed death because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. A man approved among you. You know, his presence can't be denied because of the love that we have one for another. Amen? By this shall all men know. But here's another way that his presence is known. He's approved in the midst of this community as the unlovely. Beloved, he doesn't just heal his covenant children. His redemptive work, his destruction of sin, carries over to the world, not universal salvation, but the benefits are there that of those that come to God in his own sovereign way and his own sovereign purposes extends to them illumination for salvation and deliverance. He extends to them, because sin's power is broken, healing as we lay hands upon them as believers. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall, amen? They're going to heal the sick. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to raise the dead, hallelujah. Why? That people could understand. Jesus has been raised from the dead. There's no other gods to pray for that can do this. Nobody else in town's doing this. Buddha isn't doing it. Muhammad's not doing it. You can hunt down a couple of 100,000 Hindu gods. They're not doing it. There's only one name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Amen? Amen. The name of Jesus. We need to go out boldly and just like Elijah did, take that name of Jesus, take the name of Jehovah and lift it up and challenge principalities and powers, challenge sickness and disease and say, let him that be God answer in prayer. And he'll confirm his word with signs following. You see, these men believed that. They believed it so much in that when they went to cast out a devil and couldn't, they were surprised. What's going on? This is supposed to happen. We're supposed to say, come out, and you're supposed to come out. Isn't it amazing? They were shocked. Why couldn't we do this? We all know why. They were arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest, who's the most spiritual, how special our families are, and had no power. One thing we'll find as you study through this passage, the power works in direct correlation not only to our faith, but to our unity and to our being in one accord, that God would be glorified in our midst and not any person. And so he goes on, and a couple of other great truths here. Go back to Acts chapter 4 for just a second. And in chapter 4, they had been amazed, wondered and amazed at what had happened to this crippled man. And then in chapter 4, we see again some reference back to it. And it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. I want you to see that the signs and wonders should always be accompanied by the preaching of the word. Amen? The more sure foundation. You see, in the last days, there's going to be lying signs and wonders. Lying signs and wonders emphasize the creature the signs and wonders that are of God glorify the Creator. And the Word or the Gospel is what distinguishes between the two. If it's God doing the miracles, it's for the purpose of people getting saved, not just getting healed. Not just to cause men to marvel. Not just for drawing crowds. It's to get people to heaven. It's to get people's lives transformed and out from under the power of sin. That's why God moves mightily when His Word is preached. In fact, you know, down in verse 29, look at it, what it says in verse 29 when it talks about the Word. The one thing that they were asking, verse 29, he says, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word." We want to keep the word prominent. We want to keep the word pure. We want to keep this message that Peter had just preached. There's only one name under heaven whereby you can be saved. This Jesus who you crucified, God has raised from the dead. And it's His name and faith in His name that causes this man to stand here before you whole. Why look on us as though by our own power and our own authority we did something? Amen? The Word. The glory of God. But look what it goes on. It says that we may boldly speak your word. Now look how these two things work together. Grant to us that we can boldly speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal. You see, signs and wonders makes it easier to boldly preach the word. It gives you somebody to talk to. Oh, they're showing up for the wrong reasons. They just want to get feeling better. But they get the word. Amen. They hear the message of salvation, of the lordship of Jesus, of the kingdom of God, and that it's apprehended by faith, and that you can't just live any way you want. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There's an effort made. There's a death to self. There's a coming out of the world. So grant that we could preach your word by showing your resurrected power. It gives your word credibility. Everything that your word said was going to happen is happening, praise God. And so people are amazed and they're seeing the miracles and they're seeing that it's by the name of Jesus. He goes on and says, "Stretch forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders might be done in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. So we see the great power of God. Look back at verse 21 for just a second. Prior to going to the disciples and giving their bold testimony, it says that while they were being commanded to no longer teach in this name, and they were being threatened, it says then down at the bottom of this verse, look, it says, "For all men glorified God for that which was done." There it is again. All men glorified God for that which is done. I want you to know something. Your healing will bring glory to God. Your deliverance is going to bring glory to God. All men glorified God for that which was done. Who did sin? Neither. But that the glory of God might be manifested. I'm going to do the works of He that sent me. Amen? What works? Jesus anointed, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Don't you think for a moment that God's not going to show up and glorify Himself on your behalf. But let's get our eyes on Him. Amen? Let's get our eyes on Him being lifted up, on Him being glorified. Verse 16, that a notable miracle was done cannot be denied. So what are you going to say about this? You know, Ray Comfort has all of his little thing laid out, how to witness to Catholics and how to witness to Muslims, and that's all good stuff. You throw a few miracles on top of that, you're going to get somebody giving a little credibility to what you're saying. You know that Jesus who in the Quran you acknowledge existed and was a great prophet, but he didn't really die. Someone replaced him on the cross. It's his name and faith in his name that made this happen, praise God. I want to tell you something. He died and he's alive today and he's at the Father's right hand. And there's no other name given whereby men can be saved. Hallelujah. Share with one of them that after you've raised one of their relatives from the dead. Or blind eyes were opened. Or their uncle Saddam, who'd been crippled for 40 years, was raised up, praise God. I want you to understand this is something that we need to see. A man approved of God among you by signs and wonders. Amen. Believing Him for His glory to manifest. The power of God. Acts chapter 5, as we go on and we see in this fifth chapter of Acts, the desire for unification in the church, to be in one accord. We just saw in the previous chapter that they had come together in one accord and nobody said that anything that they possessed was their own. And they sold their houses and they brought them and laid this money at the apostles' feet. And they distributed according as every man had need. Now, communal living is not a Bible doctrine. This was done out of necessity for a specific need in the church at this time. But unity is necessary. And serving others is necessary. And cooperation instead of independence is necessary. And being fully committed is necessary. And that's what the whole fifth chapter is about. Because you had people that wanted all the benefits, but were holding back to themselves. And we all know the story, so I won't belabor the point. And by the way, I'll just throw this in as a sidebar. Remember what the final declaration of this was. Both Ananias and Sapphira were judged of God supernaturally and slain in the church service. Just struck dead right in the church service. There needs to be some more of that also in the last days. And God will manifest accordingly. Thank God He's merciful. Amen. And long-suffering. But there will be no lying to the Holy Ghost. God is merciful, but there will be no lying to the Holy Ghost. And whatever God's speaking to us, we need to listen and we need to obey. And so here they are, and They're making pretense that they've given everything like everybody else. And God brings the judgment on them. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 5, "And after this judgment, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as had heard these things." And what always follows purification of the church then manifests. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." Many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And then it goes on and says, "And believers," verse 14, "were added more day by day, multitudes, both men and women." Now watch, back to verse 13. All of this is happening, the judgment, the signs, the wonders, the revival. Why? It says, because of the fact that, verse 13, "the rest having not joined themselves to them, but the people magnified them." I want you to get that. All of this taking place. The people, though, stepping back, and it says everybody that had heard this testimony, everybody that was watching these miracles, the judgment of God in their midst, the purification of the church, it said, and the people, the outsiders, were looking, and then they magnified them and said, "Those are the people of God. This is where God's hanging out." So I want you to see that it also, in this whole package, now we have the word being taught, we have signs and wonders, and now we have purification taking place. We have the Lord adding to the church such as be saved and subtracting. And this is all part of the signs and wonders, and as people are watching what's taking place in our midst. It said as they watched this, they then brought forth, verse 15, the sick into the streets. And we know this passage. And they laid them out in the streets on beds and couches. Can you imagine service is over and we start to go out into the parking lot, into our newly striped extra size parking spaces. Looks nice, doesn't it? Haven't all done. Gave you a little more space. No reason to bang anybody's cars. And as we go out the door, laid up and down the sidewalks, people in wheelchairs, on crutches, on gurneys. So as by chance your shadow would fall on them. And they'd be healed. We leave service and the people that couldn't get into the room are standing outside looking for each one of you. Somebody who's a believer. Somebody who's been approved of God. Someone who not only knows the doctrine, but is full of the Holy Ghost, to put your hands on them. They're not looking for a preacher. They're not looking for a deacon. They're looking for a believer. Amen? Here am I, Lord, send me. That God would be glorified. Just expect it. We're talking about what are we expecting. Look how common this is. I mean, it's not only every chapter, it's multiple times per chapter. This is what the church is experiencing on a daily basis. Why not us? God's no respecter of persons. These things will follow the believers. But we've got to get of one mind that Jesus is first. Committed to it. Oh, Jesus is first, but you know, my job requires this, and my traveling requires this, and my position requires this, and my promotion requires this, and my whatever, and you know, we could go on and on. And we've talked about all of the ease and the comfort, and we're not going to get into any of that. They're all indicators of different things in our lives. But we know whether we're keeping the first and great commandment or not, of loving the Lord with all of our hearts. And the second, our neighbor as ourselves. And in those two commandments, all the law and the prophets hang. I want to tell you something. When we as a community become totally sold out to God being first and not our comfort, ease, and pleasures, when we're so totally sold out on the second commandment and love our neighbors, and we set aside hours and hours that we would spend ourselves for ourselves interceding for these that are broken and hurting among us and dying, God will visit us. There's no special formula. It's humility. It's standing in awe of the task and going, I am helpless before this saying. But all things are possible to he that believes, praise God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, hallelujah. These wonders that the Bible talks about, these creative miracles, the halt, the maim, people who had lost limbs, having them grow back, praise God. A decaying body rise from the dead. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Put no limitations on him, amen? Expect him to come. And so they brought forth these people, verse 16. Brought sick folks with them, those that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. I want you to see that it's not only Jesus who healed them all. But even the disciples, Peter here, the believers, and everyone that showed up was healed. I want to see that, praise God. I've never been in a meeting where every person was healed. I've seen a lot of people get healed. How about everyone? Well, here's my attitude toward it. If everybody's going to get healed, bring more. Bring them all. Amen? Get them in the presence of God. Put him on the bed. Carry him to the church. Tear the roof off. Lower him down into the presence of Jesus. Nothing hindering us from trusting and believing God to manifest his power. The woman with the issue of blood, push your way through the crowd. Grab a hold of his garment. Stop him in his steps. Who touched me? What do you mean who touched you? The crowds are thronging you. Somebody touched me in faith. I perceive that virtue has gone out of my body. Who touched me? Whatever it takes. You're out witnessing to somebody. It's difficult for them to get here. I'll come and pick you up. We'll carry you into the place. Amen? Amen. You're going to walk out. You're going to walk out
because he heals them all. Matthew's gospel said he healed them all that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Amen. What are we expecting when we come together? Everybody to get healed? Are we expecting signs and wonders? As I shared Wednesday night, are we expecting? I made reference to Josh, you know. We've seen God moving. Twice they've been concerned about whether they were going to be able to save the eye or not and different things. And the fact is that eye's still alive. And the fact is he needs to be seen. Amen? And the fact is it needs to be expected at every moment. Praise God. And believe God. Like I said, just wake up in the morning and see. Hallelujah. Because by his stripes we're healed. Wake up in the morning, and if you're having trouble and you're lame, you're having trouble with your body not functioning, just praise God. Get out. And whatever it was you couldn't do before, just do it. Just trust God. Step out of the boat and let him heal you. Believe for virtue to come into your body. Don't get discouraged if you prayed before. We're not going to go there this morning, but there's numerous accounts in the scripture where people had to be prayed for more than once. Even Jesus prayed. Don't get discouraged. God wants you whole. That he could be glorified, that you could go out and boldly testify. Let me tell you what God did for me. You see, the onlookers, the religious people, don't want this message out. They were being rebuked, the disciples. They were upset. Acts 5:28 says, you fill Jerusalem with this doctrine. You fill Jerusalem with this doctrine. Because verse 42 of the fifth chapter, because they daily cease not to teach and to preach the gospel, the name of Jesus. It follows our preaching and teaching. The more we witness, the bolder we are in our testimonies as we're out and about in the highways and byways. The bolder we are at work. The bolder we are in the supermarket. The bolder we are in the highways and the byways. The more we set an environment for God to come into our midst and show himself mighty. Praise God. The violent take it by force. We're not going to see these miracles that we need to see here in our midst by hoping. By 15-second, bless them, Lord, prayers. And then we see some of them say, I want you to know, I've been praying for you. And all we said was, Lord, just bless them. Heal them, Lord. Did you get down and wrestle with principalities and powers? Jesus praying for the multitudes, he agonized in prayer. His agony wasn't just over his own having to taste the cup. He was up before everybody else in the morning. He stayed up when everybody else went to bed, and he prayed, and he still ever lives to make intercession for us today. Praise God. Expect your healing. Expect that pain to leave your body. You have no right here. Jesus bore my pain in his body. And by his stripes, I'm healed. Praise God. God loves you. You haven't done anything wrong. You don't have to try harder. We just have to trust and know that his love is everlasting, that his promises are sure, and that His mercy endures forever. But faith without works is dead. And so we realize then as this truth, this doctrine begins to unfold itself here in the Scriptures. Over and over, the healing that's taking place in this early church. This is all Book of Acts stuff. This healing that's taking place in the church is for the glory of God. He visits His church for the glory of God, to emphasize His resurrection power. We're out of time, so I'll just start to wind down with this, but let's finish with chapter 6. Maybe we'll look at a few more cases tonight. One thing for sure, just looking at these verses and going through these passages can't do anything but build faith, praise God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Keep your ears open. One of these verses jump out and touch you and change you. But in chapter 6, we see a truth here that's vital. The establishing of the deacons. The apostles were to give themselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word, verse 4. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I like what some of the faith teachers have to say about Stephen. Because we see him later being stoned and killed, and many of these of that camp say if Stephen had faith, they couldn't have killed him. The rock should have just hit an invisible shield and bounced off of him. Let me tell you something. Faith is not a force, like Kenneth Copeland says it is. Faith is a force. It's a force. We can control it. And he made the statement when somebody talked about, well, isn't God the source of faith? Isn't He the object of our faith? And his comment was, object, I don't understand object. Faith is a force. You know, he sees it apart from God, that it's something that's separate from God. And then to protect some of their doctrines, they talk about, you know, they have their understanding of how faith works, and faith, from their perspective, works separate from sovereignty and supersedes sovereignty. And so I've heard the men say it themselves. If Stephen had had faith, they couldn't have killed him. But the Bible says he was full of faith. Amen? Don't let adverse circumstances or even consequences that end in the death of an individual cause you to think they weren't in faith or trusting God, because Hebrews 11 says these died in faith. Amen? You can't separate faith from its source, God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? What faith you have, you didn't get. You didn't get it by study. You didn't get it by prayer. You got it by the grace and the mercy of God, who brought all of these things to your understanding. And it's He that's working in us to will and to do His good pleasure. And so we rest in God. Stephen, full of faith, the Scripture says. Full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Judging a guy like him. Kidding me?
We know the story, how he goes on and he ministers, you know, in the power of God and the authority of God. And it says in verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Verse 10, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." And so we see here, and we'll end with this morning, how common it was to see these signs, these wonders, these miracles in the church. And they're ours today. It belongs to us today. God is no respecter of persons. Every chapter, wonders, miracles, signs, that God would be glorified. Oh, Father, help us this morning to anticipate this visitation. Help us this morning to long for you to be exalted and glorified. Somehow that throughout this area, Lord, that you've placed us, men's eyes would be opened. They would begin to hear and know there's a place where God has chosen to put his name. Just as at Bethel, the angels ascended and descended, there was a place that you were visiting the earth. Put your ladder right here. Father, we do want you exalted. We ask you to make that our first priority. But Father, we are moved and our hearts do ache for those that are hurting among us. As you've helped us to taste the feelings of their infirmities, as you've caused us to weep as they weep, we've lifted these up before you continuously, Lord, and we will not faint and we will not change. What our heart sees in the spirit realm, as we come before your throne and within our spirit man rises up to our very vision, we can see it. As we've seen it, Father, we've seen these walking. We've seen the pain leave. We've seen them live and not die in the name of Jesus. Because of your faith, because of your promises, touch us, Lord, with their pain and their hurt and their sorrow. But fill us with your power and your word, that we would hope against hope and call things that are not as though they were, and declare it is finished, praise God. And by your stripes, we're healed. And these that were made by you and for you, let your light manifest. Do the works while it's day. That final judgment's at hand. It stands at the door. One more healed.
one more saved, that you might be glorified, Father. It's our heart's desire. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say that God would be glorified. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.